podcast is presented to you by Pastor Gilbert Kelly of New City Church, located in Fairburn and Peachtree City, Georgia. For more information, please visit us at newcitychurch.net.
Good morning, church. I hope you guys are excited about what we've seen so far today. It's been a great example of so many people that we have in our youth ministry. So many different talents. It's not just Pastor Jenny or just myself or Desiree at the Peachtree City campus. It's so many people who are willing and wanting to pour into this next generation. That's what gets me so excited. And every single day when I come to work, I'm like, I literally have the best job in the world. Like, I went to college. I really feel like God did that on purpose. So, like, shield me from some foolery. Let me come back. And he was like, you know what? I want you to be right here pouring into this next generation. But more importantly than pouring into this next generation, I'm going to just let you in on who I am and as short as possible. I'm just a lover of people. So anything that I say today or you hear me say in the future, realize that's who I am. I'm never doing anything to be malicious, to try to hurt your heart, to try to stray you away from what God wants to do in your life. I'm just trying to love you and be beside you, cheer you on, and give you anything that God gives me. Because honestly, I'm not the person who's up here preaching. I'm just a vessel that God's using. Every word that I'm about to say is just something that God gave me. In and of myself, I'm not good enough to be up here. I love Pastor Gilbert, but he's not good enough to be up here. I love Pastor Jenny. She's not good enough to be up here. Anybody you see in this pulpit, by ourselves, we're not good enough to be up here. But God, when you add him into the mix, it's so crazy how situations begin to change and your worthiness level isn't depicted on what you can do, but the God that's in you. So that had nothing to do with what I'm saying, but I felt like God just gave that to me right now really quick. So we're going to jump in really quickly and we're going to go. I do have to do a quick thank you for everybody who came to support me, my family in this front row, my two sisters in the back, Vanessa and Diamond and Stephanie, my bad. All the people who are here, I just want to say thank you so much for being here. But now that we've got that out the way, I do want to go ahead and get into the Word of God. That's why we're here. So, like Pastor Jenny said, we have been in a Voices series. And the biggest tagline of the series is, the voices you listen to determine the future you experience. So, are you listening to voices of hate that are stirring up hate inside your heart? Are you listening to voices of pride or insecurity that's stirring up not knowing how God views you? Are you listening to voices of the Holy Spirit, a positive voice? See, sometimes we only talk about the negative voices that everybody listens to. There's positive voices as well. And I actually want to dive into kind of going down the line and determining what's a positive versus what's a slightly negative voice. Not that one voice may be bad, but if it's not the voice of God, it may not be as beneficial for you as you think it is. So I want to talk about the voice of knowledge versus the voice of wisdom. So close, but so different. Bow your heads, let's pray really quick. Dear Lord, I just thank you for who you are. I thank you for this message. None of me, all of you, just do what you want today in this service. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So to start, I do want to go ahead and begin with a quick story about who I am, things that I've done in the past. One thing that I've done in the past, it's going to sound silly, because it is. I'll let you know up front, it's not smart. I was dumb when I did it. If I could go back, I wouldn't do it again. So anybody ever seen the game of baseball? Anybody ever? Raise your hand. I need you guys to interact with me. If you've ever seen the game of baseball, softball, wiffle ball, any kind of thing with a bat. So there's a bat. And then one of my favorite sports is basketball. I love basketball, and when I was younger and I lived in Ohio, me and my friends would be outside every day, and what we used to do is we'd play all of the normal games, and then we would combine games to make them more fun, because that makes sense in our head. As a 7-year-old, you put a baseball bat and a basketball together, and it just sounds like a good time. Until there's a basketball right there, and there's a baseball, and I'm like, I'm going to play golf because that's what my dad does. So I swing, boom, it goes over there. All right, I'm pretty good at this. Do it again, boom, it goes over here a little bit more. I do it one more time, boom, ah, oh, Jesus. I hit the basketball square on it, bounces back, hits me in the head, and I'm knocked out, like knocked out cold. It was a metal baseball bat. I swung it really hard, and I was just gone. Just, oh, Lord, what am I going to do? I was asleep, like tired all the way out. And what that story is a quick example of, I have knowledge about what a baseball bat is for. I have knowledge about what a basketball is for, but a little bit of wisdom would have told me not to combine those two things together. It's crazy. I actually went to a chiropractor later. He was like, I made the same mistake. So I'm here to tell anybody, make sure that you, he was like, I was like, really? Okay. I'm here to tell you right now, let's not make that same mistake. But don't we do something very, very similar? We have knowledge sometimes about a subject. And we'll take that knowledge, but because we don't have wisdom, because we don't let the Holy Spirit or we don't have experience to go along with it, we don't know actually how to use that knowledge that we have. So let's jump into the definitions of knowledge and wisdom, because I feel like you may be a little bit lost if you don't know what knowledge versus wisdom is. So let's jump in. Knowledge, by definition, is facts, information, and skills acquired by a person. The theoretical or practical understanding of a subject. Now let's jump into wisdom. The quality of having experience, knowledge, and good judgment. The quality of being wise. Soundness of an action or decision with regard to the application of experience, knowledge, and good judgment. I was doing a bunch of research on knowledge versus wisdom, and I'm like, God, what is this supposed to look like? And one thing that I found that I felt was really, really good and something I want to share with you guys is the fact that spiritual wisdom does not mix God's point of view with man's point of view. We don't need to mix them together. It's mixing perfection with imperfection. Why would we even start to do that? But that's what we do. It's so convenient that in a moment, you know what the Word of God says, but the Word of God doesn't fit with what you already wanted to do. Because that's what it is. It's not that, oh, we're going to the Word of God solely. We already have made up in our mind what we want to do, and we're looking in the Word of God for the thing that will go with what we already think. Like, God, can I find a verse that goes with what I'm thinking right now? Because if not, this is going to be hard to explain to people, but I'm like, where did we get so confident in that? Let's go a little bit deeper. What I see, especially now, especially in this next generation, what I've noticed is often with knowledge, it starts very, very harmless. But the world has done a really good job of adding little bits of truth to that knowledge. Little bits of truth that actually oppose the Word of God. They just slightly change the definition of things. Slightly mix things up. It makes sense. I see when I was in college, one thing that I heard a lot is, speak your truth. Not speak the truth. Speak your individual truth. Speak the truth that you feel. Speak what you're thinking. Speak what already lines up with what you believe. And if what you believe goes against the Word of God, it's okay. You can push that aside for now because you're supposed to speak your truth in any situation. And I'm like, but that doesn't even make sense. It's funny how truth can be really relative. Because depending on how much knowledge you have, truth may change. For a time, everybody knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that the world was flat. Truth changed, but there's some truth that never changes. In John 17:17, it says, sanctify them in the truth. This is out of the Amplified version. It says, set them apart for your purposes. Make them holy. Your word is truth. Not what we think is truth, not what goes with our feelings or our emotions is truth, but your word is truth. Sanctify in the Greek means to dedicate to God, to separate for God. So you have to separate your truth and what the truth of the word of God says. If you don't begin to separate your truth and the truth of the word of God, you mix things that aren't supposed to be together. And then you know what's really difficult? Once you mix something, to try to separate them again. It's much better if you keep them separate to start. Not that you can't, it's just a lot more difficult. It makes sense that they add little bits of things that make it feel like, oh, this is what truth is. Because you know where the world gets their game plan from? The devil. And isn't that the first thing that we see him do? Learning from Pastor Gilbert, let's go back to Genesis. If you go back to Genesis, the first thing the devil did when he tried to tempt Adam and Eve, he didn't say something crazy. He twisted the truth just so slightly. And when the truth was just twisted just so much, then we speak out of what we want. We speak out of our emotions or our feelings. And it's crazy how things get all messed up after that. I know I've said this in the past. If that was me, I would have known better. Eve, stupid, what was you thinking? How you not know better, Eve? Me and all my grandeur, would have done better than you. But would I? Let's jump in. I want to see if y'all can pick this out. So really be paying attention to the words that I use. So I'm going to start in Genesis 2. We're going to read 16 and 17. And it says, "And the Lord God commanded the man, 'You are free to eat from any tree in the garden.'" Verse 17, "But you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat from it, you will certainly die." Now let's jump to Genesis 3, 1 through 4. Verse 1 says, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?' The woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die. You will not certainly die,' the serpent said to the woman." You know what's so good about that? And the difference between Adam and Eve in that scenario? Knowledge versus wisdom. Eve had knowledge of the situation of what the tree was. You know what she didn't have? Experience. She wasn't there when God told the man that you're not supposed to eat from here. She didn't have the one-on-one experience for herself. When you don't have the one-on-one experience from yourself and you're listening for secondhand accounts, it's so difficult for you to actually be able to handle that situation. I'm tired. I love our generation, but I'm tired of a lot of times we just come in here on Sundays. Just coming on Wednesdays, that's enough. That's all I need to hear of the word of God. You're supposed to know the word of God for yourself. If you don't experience it for yourself, you'll make the same mistake she did because she knew what the truth was. You know what's really difficult? When you know what the truth is, but you've only heard it from a secondhand account. You didn't have to do the research yourself. If you don't do the research yourself, it's going to be so, so easy in those moments for you to fumble on a word or two, for you to add something to it. What did she do? She added to the word of God. You must not eat and you must not touch or you will die. He didn't say that in the beginning. So because she didn't have experience for herself with God, one-on-one conversation, God, what am I supposed to do right now? Too many of us are going to leaders. We're going to the people that we love. I love you guys again. Don't come to me first. I've told each and every single person I mentor, if you come to me first, the first thing I'm going to say is, did you go to God for yourself? If you're not going to God for yourself, don't talk to me because I know nothing better than what he can tell you yourself. Anything that I say, it's just going to be what he's trying to tell you. I'm just supposed to be affirming what he's already told you, not giving it to you for the first time. Oof. It's so crazy. We have always been consumed with having the knowledge of things for themselves, for ourselves, even if it means separation from God. We want knowledge that bad that we will even separate ourselves from God to get it. You're like, we don't do that anymore. I love God. I would never separate myself from it. To all of my students, if you know that you're not ready to go to college and you still go to college because that's what you're supposed to do to get knowledge, you want knowledge more than you want God in a situation. I'm going to keep it 100 with you. I ain't got nothing else I can do. You know what? The best decision I ever made in my life was doing the internship here. That's not a plug for the internship. That's a plug for putting God first. That's the first thing in my life. Everything else comes second. Nothing is more important than having the Holy Spirit inside of me for myself. Having experience with God in a situation for myself. The more, what the internship did for me was made me aware of who the Holy Spirit is for me and gave me experience with the Holy Spirit when I had to make a difficult decision. Because when you go to college, there will be difficult decisions you have to make. And if you've never had to make that decision for yourself with the Holy Spirit, it's going to be really difficult for you to do it with the first time in front of a bunch of people who all think opposite of you. And you're like, wow, I'm glad I'm not in college anymore. Gotcha. How many people have ever went to a training at work? Raise your hand. If you've ever went to a single training in your whole life, thank you. I'm like, some of y'all just not telling the truth. It's so funny. We may not love going to training, but we will go to training and we'll begin to take on the beliefs of a training that actually don't line up with the Word of God. If the trainings are contrary to the Word of God, I hate to say it, one of two things got to happen. You either got to stand for what you believe and be willing to be fired for it, that's difficult, or you need to go ahead and start looking for another job already. Because if they have core beliefs that go against what you corely believe, they're going to keep going at you and trying to pick and prod to find the areas that you're really going to compromise on. Compromise is so difficult, but when you realize that you don't have to compromise, because the Holy Spirit, that's one of the voices that Pastor Jenny talked about a couple weeks ago, is the importance of the Holy Spirit, because he'll show you how to effectively use the knowledge that you're getting. You'll effectively use the knowledge that may contradict the knowledge that they're teaching you in trainings. But if you're going by the knowledge or the Holy Spirit, what he's giving you, watch how many more successes you have in your business. Watch how many more, you'll begin to go right when everybody else is going left, and your boss is like, you're going right. I like the cut of your jib. I like the way you do things. I think that you are set above other people. Why? You trust the Holy Spirit for yourself in the midst of any situation. So I didn't have planned to preach long. So we're just going to go through some what the world says, what knowledge says, versus what wisdom says. Knowledge says, go to school. Wisdom would say, go to school once you have a strong foundation in the Lord. Knowledge says, keep all your money. Wisdom says, trust the Lord with your first fruits, Proverbs 3:9. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. Knowledge says, don't put all your eggs in one basket, common phrase. Wisdom says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his ways in all you do, and he will show you with which path to take. Literally opposite. You can't put all your stuff over here. I don't have to worry about that if I'm not the one holding that basket. If I put all my eggs in that basket and I give that basket to God, can't nothing go get that basket. Because he can protect things that I could never protect on my own. He can hold things in my life. He can hold dreams that you have. Sometimes we'll keep those dreams to ourselves. And God said, I gave you the dream, but if you give it back to me, you'd be even more surprised. Oof. Just trust me with it one more time. I know you've went through some hard times. And I know that the world say, you have to do it this way. But trust me with all of your heart. Every aspect. And I promise, any of those little things that you think that you have to hold on to, because if you don't hold on to it, you don't know what you're going to do, just give it to me, and I'll make it go so much further than you could have ever taken on your own. So how do we attain wisdom over knowledge? What comes to mind first is following Christ's model when he got tempted by the devil. So two Wednesdays ago, I was preaching about pride and insecurity, and I did a deep dive into Luke 4 when Jesus went up on the mountain and he prayed and he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And then as soon as he got filled with the Holy Spirit, he got tempted by the devil. It was like he prayed and fasted for 40 days and he was hungry. Yeah. And then what did the devil do? He attacked him right at his hunger. And then he attacked him at his humanity and attacked him at his pride, saying, I can lift you above all things. And we will, if you just worship me, that's all you have to do. It's so funny. If you go back to read that story, you can find exactly how you're supposed to combat knowledge and have wisdom. So the first thing that he did was he knew the word for himself. So if you're taking notes, make sure know the word for yourself. Let's say it together. Know the word for yourself. Because if you don't know the word for yourself, you won't know how to combat when attack comes. Not if an attack comes, when the attack comes. You have to know in that moment, I can say this. I can do this. I love how it talks about when you know his word is what we use to attack the enemy. Some of us don't know his word. So when he attacks, we don't know what to say. I love smartphones, but one thing that made us really lazy in is memorizing scripture for ourselves. We feel like I got time to look it up real quick when I'm going through a situation. There may be a moment where in that second you need to just come back immediately. Devil, who you think you are? Do you know what the word of God says? But you're like, do you know what the word of God says? No, really, tell me, because I don't know what the word of God says. I thought you knew. It's crazy. He does. That's how he uses little bits of truth, how he's able to twist the word, because he knows the word. It's scary that we're supposed to be Christ followers, but the person who opposes Christ knows the word better than us. Point number two, separate and have solitude with God for yourself. So when the test comes, not if, when the test comes, you can stand against it and you have experience. Point number three, and this one's really, really big. You need to walk through this life with accountability. We're really big about accountability in Passion Student Ministries. And I wondered, and I may be wrong, because I am not a seasoned Christian, but does accountability just stop when you guys get older? Because sometimes I'm just being 100. That's all I know how to do. Sometimes it feels like the only people who know the importance of accountability are the younger ones. And not just have accountability that you have accountability accountability in words only, but you need someone that you are going to actually listen to give you wisdom based off of his word and experience with it. I don't know anybody who is consistently growing in the things of God who don't have accountability. Ooh. And the last one is walk being led by the Holy Spirit. Understanding that knowledge and good thoughts come from the word, come from the world, but godly wisdom comes from his word and the Holy Spirit. Job 28:23, God understands the way to wisdom, and he knows its place. For wisdom is with God alone. And as we get ready to go into the altar call, Philip, you can go ahead and drop that track. I know what I said. It's Passion Sunday, that's what we say. Knowledge says we have to save ourselves when we get in a tough situation. Wisdom says, Romans 5:6-8, while we were still helpless, powerless to provide for our salvation, at the right time, Christ died as a substitute for the ungodly, each and every single one of us in a moment. Now it is an extraordinary thing for one to willingly give his life even for an upright man, though perhaps for a good man, one who is noble and selfless and worthy. Someone might even dare to die. But God clearly shows and proves his own love for us by the fact while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So as we get ready to go into this altar call, I'm used to youth. Go ahead and bow your heads, close your eyes. The first call that we're going to do is for anybody who said, I've been living with knowledge. I thought I had to save myself from every situation. I thought I had to be good enough by myself. I thought I could do it alone. And you just realized that wisdom says you don't have to do it by yourself because Christ already died for us. So if you want to make God your Savior for the first time, or maybe you realize, Zach, I've been living by knowledge even though I'm a Christian. And I make decisions that are based out of the world and not out of God. If you know that you either need God for the first time or maybe have backslidden a little bit and need to get right with God, go ahead and raise your hand. Every head bowed, every eyes closed. Let's not wait till another day. I see that hand. Let's not wait till another day because another day is not promised. Knowledge says, I got as much time as I need. Wisdom says, you better get right with God today. Raise that hand one more time. I'm looking around one last time. I don't want to miss anybody's hands. Perfect. So what we're going to do is everybody's going to stand up. If I can have the prayer team go ahead and make their way forward. And as the prayer team's coming forward, my next call is for anybody who said, I need some wisdom. You need a little bit of clarity about what God has planned for your life. You need God to deliver you in a situation. I want you to go ahead and make your way up. Don't wait. You don't need to be worried about what anybody on the left or the right of you is saying. Go ahead and make your way up. If you know that you need wisdom, then you know that you need it right now. We don't have time to wait till next week. We're not waiting till next month. We're going to get some wisdom right here today because God wants to show up in your life. If you decided to accept God in your life for the first time, go ahead and make your way up. We're not waiting any longer. We're going to get God and have an encounter with him right now for ourselves. And my last call, and this one I really feel really passionately about and really strongly about, if you feel like knowledge the knowledge that you have says, I am not worthy of love. I don't know how to love other people because no one really loved me. No one loved me the way that I was supposed to be loved. I want to encourage you that in 1 Peter 4:8, it says, above all, have fervent and unfailing love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. I want to encourage you, if you know that you need some help with the way that you love others or feeling love for yourself, go ahead and make your way up here and get some prayer. There's no shame in that. At my lowest, I felt like I was never, ever going to be loved by God again. So if you know that you need to experience what God's love is for yourself for the first time, I encourage you to go ahead and make your way up here. Philip, go ahead and turn it up a little bit. And if you're sitting in the seats, let's go ahead and worship a little bit, just for a second.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. To stay connected, download our NCC app, follow us on Instagram and Twitter, or join our Facebook group. Thank you and have a blessed week.